Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. I'm MKT. What a cracking game. If you didn't watch Liverpool Man United, one of the greatest FA Cup games I've ever seen. And I mean, I've seen some crackers, but that was unbelievable. 4-3, Manchester United at the death. Ahmad takes his shirt off. He's already on a yellow, goes to the crowd, gets a second yellow, red card, and Manchester United hang on. What a game. What a ding-dong battle that was. The magic of the FA Cup, they say. So, as I'm recording this, I haven't seen what the draw is, but I'll keep an eye on it. Maybe I'll bring it up in the pod. Got a screen going. Got a second screen going. You know, in marketing, you say first screen, second screen. Go look up first screen, second screen. It's not a marketing podcast. But, wow, what a game. What a weekend. Oh, FA Cup games have been incredible. Chelsea struggled against Leicester. It's about Chelsea's level at the moment. City, I mean, I'll talk about Newcastle in a bit. And, yeah, Coventry. I mean, the Coventry-Wolves game was just unreal. Absolutely unreal. 96th minute winner, I think it was, in that game. Absolutely sensational. We are going to talk Sancho. We'll talk a little bit of Man United and Chelsea. I think Man United and Chelsea have the same problem. And I'll tell you what I think that is. And then, of course, as I do every Monday, tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. The MKT Show, if you're not subscribed to YouTube, go ahead and click on the MKT Show YouTube page. Hasn't changed. And please do go and subscribe. We will be back there soon. Soon. Let's say, I mean, I could actually put a date on it, but we'll be back soon. We'll be back before the end of the Premier League season, going live daily again. More to come on that in a little bit. Man, still kind of coming down off that game. Man United, incredible. Ahmad, tremendous for him. Hey, if you're a Man United fan, you cannot but love what just happened there. Young team, defenders out, no Luke Shaw. I mean, Bruno Fernandes was playing centre-back at the end. Absolutely amazing. Got some thoughts there. And yeah, do like, share, subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend that this show exists. Looking at some numbers earlier. People are sharing it. It's 6,100 listeners. That's the most listeners I've ever had. The last episode, vis-a-vis, might be the wedding people. You know what I mean? 6,100, just over 6,100 listeners on the last pod is the most we've ever had on the show. So could be the fact that I did send the link to the man who was getting married, the groom. He might have shared it. Who knows? Could have been that bump, the 100 people bump. But I've never had 6,100. So there you have it. Had a couple of 6,000 and sort of double digits. 6,100, over 6,100 listeners on the last pod. Be a friend, tell a friend. Share it. It's a sports show, a little bit. It's other stuff as well. The MKT Show. Otherwise, MKT Inspires, MKT at the MKT Show, if you'd like to get into the mailbag. Thought I'd start off on this one. You know, Jadon Sancho is off to a cracking start in Germany with Dortmund. And you know what happens? You've had a little sitch where you break up with someone and maybe you don't see her for 6 months and then she's looking like fire 6 months later. And you kind of forget all of that crazy stuff she was doing and the reason you broke up with her. And she's like, hey, I'm in a better space. You know, let's try again. My mom misses you. We all know how this goes. kind of feel like that's what's happening with Jadon Sancho. And Man United mustn't fall into that trap. Like, you've seen what he is. Listen, if you've been in a relationship and you're an adult, there is no better way to judge someone off what they do versus what they say. Especially when you've got them in-house. Because, you know, I remember when I was younger, I think I used to behave better at other people's houses. You know, when people are comfortable, like I'm at home, put feet on the coffee table, that's when you really see how people are. If you want to see what somebody is, make them comfortable, you know? And for me, I think if you're a Man United fan, and I'm seeing it on social media, people suggesting that Jadon Sancho is fire, man of the match, Borussia Dortmund. I'm like, yeah, that's cool over there. But this is the Premier League. You got to do that at least 30 times, especially for that kind of money that they paid for him. You got to do that at least 30 times a season. Jadon Sancho hasn't done it 10 times in his whole stay in 3 years. So I just don't think Man United should fall into that trap. It's once. It's easy. He's not comfortable there. He has to be on his best behavior. And by the way, read a story. He was late again at Dortmund. It's like, well, brother, what are we doing? So I've just been seeing a lot of that. And I just thought to myself, are Man United fans insane on social media? Like, are you crazy? Like, you've seen how crazy she is. Why would you get back with her? Oh, but she's so beautiful. Dude, what are we doing? So I wouldn't fall for that. Like, first of all, I don't get the Jadon Sancho thing. He had one fantastic season at Borussia Dortmund. But other than that, I've never understood. He's not like Erling Haaland, you know? Like, Erling Haaland, it's clear. Serious dude, takes football seriously. And that's one of the things about life, right? Is you have to be a serious person. Jadon Sancho, I remember in lockdown when he... And it seems like a small thing. And my father used to say this to me. Nothing is everything, but everything is something. And I remember seeing Jadon Sancho going for a haircut in lockdown. And it seems like a small thing. But you know, when there has to be a sense of self-awareness. To say, I'm a footballer, I cannot go and do that. And he didn't have that. And then you go to Man United and then it's just like, you know what time it is. So I just don't think he's the right fit for the club. I don't think they suit each other. I don't think he's self-aware enough to be a star at Manchester United. And it'll work at Dortmund, no problem. It'll work at Dortmund. And the FA Cup final draw has just happened. Ian Wright has done his thing. Would you believe it? Manchester City take on Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final. Coventry take on Man United. I mean, that's basically Man United in the final, right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. There you have it. Listen, and Poch does well against Pep, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, you would have wanted Coventry City, no matter who you are. They won in dramatic fashion against Wolves. So, FA Cup semi-finals. Coventry play Man United. Man City play Chelsea. And as a Chelsea fan, I mean, season's over. You know, I don't know whether winning the FA Cup would help anything. It would be automatic qualification to Europe, which Chelsea do need, especially after losing the League Cup final. Not sure they're going to beat City, though. Not sure they're going to be able to beat City. We'll see how it goes, but the season's over. As far as a Chelsea fan, I'm seeing that. Man City, they're going to want to try and go at least for the double. You know, they've got Real Madrid, I think, in the Champions League, so that's going to be tough. At least they want to do the double this season, so they're going to want to go for the FA Cup and the league. That is the FA Cup draw. You know, I was watching Man United Liverpool and I was just thinking to myself, you know, I've always said this to people. If you're a good looking person, and it's clear in the evidence, like we trust tall, good looking people more. I don't know whether it's wired into our evolution, you know, our neuroscience. I don't know what it is, but we do. And there's been plenty sort of written about that. And I've always said, the better looking you are, the more you can get away with. And whatever, like, I've never really been resentful of good looking people. You know, I mean, if they are female, I'm even an admirer of that. So good for them. So here's my thing. You've got to be self-aware enough. Like, if you're a guy or a girl, you can be more arrogant if you're good looking. You just can. It's fine. Like, whatever. You don't need to be humble. We'll tolerate it more, especially in relationships. It's just how it works. Sorry. Like, if you're mediocre looking like me, you got to be on your game. If not, you know, the worse looking you are, the more you got to be on your game, or just be rich. Like, that's just what it is. And people go, personality. I'm like, all right, sweet story. It's not a Disney movie. You know what I don't get about Bruno Fernandes in that light? He doesn't understand that he's not good enough to be as annoying as he is. I just don't get the Bruno Fernandes thing. I don't understand the moaning. Like, he behaves like he's Pele, but he plays like he's Bruno Fernandes. And I would love to hear Man United fans' thoughts. But first of all, I don't see it. I mean, that first 18 months, I think, made everyone think he was like, I don't know, Tony Kroos or something. But water always finds its level. And what Bruno Fernandes is a mediocre player who was outstanding in a small league. At Benfica. Sporting. But what is the story here? Is this where Man United are now? Like, you got this guy as your captain. And he's not even like a cult player, you know? There's some players where you're like, oh, he's annoying, but he's a cult player. And there's a bit of shithousery to him, you know? And those cult players, Jack Grealish. Like, if you've got him, everyone loves him. But every other fan hates him. Bruno Fernandes is nowhere near good enough to be a cult player at Manchester United. And nobody admires him. Like, for the cult player, there's some cult players like Thierry Henry. You know, you look at him and you're like, oh man, Cristiano Ronaldo is the perfect example. Like, you know, he's that guy and he knows he's that guy and he's got that attitude. If you're a Man United fan, you love that. If you are anyone else, you absolutely cannot stand him. But I just get the feeling Bruno Fernandes annoys everybody. Like, I haven't seen anybody, like, sing his name. Does he even have a chant at United? And I don't think he knows that. And this idea that he can be this edgy, like, you know, on the front foot guy, I don't like it. I don't like that. He's not good enough to be that annoying. And that whingy and moany, oh man, it's gross. He's maybe the most unlikable footballer in the world. I don't know the person, so I don't really care about that. I'm saying the on-field persona, though, and it's tough to hide your personality in such a public spotlight, especially as a footballer. Like, it reveals who you are. Man, oh man. The moaning and the diving and the, ugh. Luis Suarez was hated, but at least he was brilliant. It's like, okay, you're world class. Bruno Fernandes needs to toughen up. I mean, the second goal, I think it was, for Liverpool was a tackle and he's whinging about being fouled. No foul. I think it's Joe Gomez takes it in. They cross it and it's a goal for Mo Salah. What are we doing, dude? What are we doing? Get some self-awareness. Because you're not that guy. You're not Kevin De Bruyne. You're not Frank Lampard. You're not Steven Gerrard, you know. By the way, at your very own club, you're not Roy Keane. You're not Michael Carrick. These are those guys. And again, Roy Keane, there's a perfect one. He was having a full go at everyone. They loved him at United, but everyone knew what time it was. So you could tolerate that kind of personality with Roy Keane because you knew what time it was when it was game day. With Bruno Fernandes, he's been horrendous for 18 months. In fact, outside of his first 18 months, he has been horrendous. I don't mean mediocre. He has been horrendous. And don't give me the stats about creating the most opportunity. By the way, these XG kids and these FIFA kids and, like, I'm not a goals and assists guy. Like, I know what I'm watching. Goals and assists must validate once I've seen what you're doing consistently on the field. Because I know, like, fans know what a good footballer is. Fans know. Like, fans are more knowledgeable and watch more football than ever now. Like, we know what's coming. Like, Bruno Fernandes is not good. Bruno Fernandes should be nowhere near a top 6 team. Nowhere near it. It's just weird for me, dude. Very weird. You're weird, dude. You're weird. Love to hear what Man United fans think. MKT inspires MKT at the MKT show. Do subscribe, by the way. Wherever you listen, please subscribe. I don't know what podcast. I mean, you should be on Pocket Cast if you've got an Android phone. But I guess people are like, oh, Apple Music or Apple Podcasts or whatever. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. But Apple Podcasts is maybe the worst UX in the history of mankind. So I refuse to use Apple Music. I refuse. For podcasts, I use Apple Podcasts. Oh, sorry. No, that would have been the quickest pivot ever. I use Pocket Casts. And then for music, Spotify is still the best. Although not great, it's still the best UX. Apple Podcasts, forget it. I would honestly, I'd rather be eaten by a shark, half, like have the shark chop half my body off and survive that for 6 hours than use Apple Podcasts or the whole Apple system. Like, I'm a Windows person. The UX is so revolting. Like those guys should be arrested. It's so inconvenient and so poor. And I know there's like cool kids at home going, dude, once you've used it, like, bro, I've had just about every Mac you can have, laptop. I haven't had an iPhone for a long time because I'm a grown up and not an influencer. But Pocket Casts, like Apple is for influencers. Get out of here. Get it out of my face. And I'll usually, so when I employ people, I know all the young kids, dude, you need a Mac, bro, M2, bro, M2 chip, bro. Okay, you get that for your editing and stuff, but I don't want to, don't send it near me. And convert it to PowerPoint before you send me the deck. Like, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. Anyway, wherever you listen to the show, do subscribe. Be a friend, tell a friend. All right, as I do every Monday, tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. Quite a weekend. Quite a week of sport. Quite a week of sport. If it's your first time listening, so I'll make some calls, you know, sometimes on the podcast, sometimes just in real life. Me thinking, watching, chatting, you know, engaging with other humans. I'll make some calls. Get some right, get some wrong. Got to be big enough to say I was right or wrong. To say I was right. All wrong. All right, let's get into it. Where I was right, Raheem Sterling is absolutely horrendous. I've tried to fight this for so long as a Chelsea fan. He's missed a penalty. He's two first touches. Before that, he's missed three sitters, in fact, in the game. And just to get the penalty that he missed was a horrendous first touch. One of the worst first touches I've ever seen. So it's over now with Sterling. I don't know what it is. It's not even a loss of confidence. He's always been this. It's just that he was benefiting from Pep Guardiola, and Chelsea have been scammed by Man City. I was right. Sterling's awful. Get him out the team. It's pointless now. The season's over, especially now. Chelsea got Man City in the semi-final. It's over. Like, just play Madueke. Just play the young kids. Raheem Sterling's, he's not going to help the kids develop. He's rubbish. Where I was wrong, Endo has been incredible. He's been absolutely incredible. See, this is what happens when you go into a system that's functioning. He comes from a Stuttgart team that nearly got relegated last season. And he has just been, he's been arguably the best number 8 in the league this season. Depending on what you think, what position you think Bernardo Silva's playing. Endo has been just unplayable this season. You can't get near him. Technically sublime, he's strong on the ball. Technically, you know, his vision is incredible. He ticks it along. He doesn't get in the way of things. Reminds us of Xavi Hernandez. You know, that type of midfielder is, let me not get in the way. Let me just process the information. Keep the midfield ticking over. Absolutely brilliant. I was wrong there. Where I was like, just fire Eddie Howe. What are Newcastle doing? It's over now. He's out the FA Cup. Don't tell me about injuries. Like, Liverpool had injuries. Man United had injuries. Chelsea have had injuries. What are we talking about here? Chelsea are going to be at Wembley twice in a horrendous season. They've gotten worse under Eddie Howe in year two. Jürgen's had injuries and had to turn over his team, and the quality has still stayed. So what is Eddie Howe doing outside of playing with these star players? Because everyone is good with their first team. This is when you earn your bacon, when there's injuries. So I don't understand it. It's over now. And it was embarrassing. To lose to Chelsea is embarrassing enough. I'm a Chelsea fan. To then go and be feeble, that feeble in your last bit of hope for the season against Man City, who are very, very good. They're not that good. No one's that good. No one should play as badly as Newcastle played in that last game. They should be embarrassed. They should be absolutely embarrassed, and they should be firing Eddie Howe. I was dead right there. Where I was wrong, Phil Foden is that guy. You know what I thought would happen to Phil Foden? I thought Grealish would sort of step into that number 10 role, and then Foden would shrink into that sort of rotation role and just be a guy they rotate for Bernardo Silva. You know, they're all interchangeable. He's the star player this season. I think Bernardo Silva is the best player in the league, but Phil Foden has been unreal, and I was wrong there. I honestly thought, don't even put him in the England squad. Like, I didn't think he had that next level. But this season he's shown goals, creativity, playing in that sort of 8-10 hybrid pocket. You know, ability to play on the right, ability to play on the left. Links play. No longer selfish, by the way. He's a provider. He's a goal scorer now. He runs beyond the last man. It helps when it's Erling Haaland, but you still got to do it. Erling Haaland is very demanding. These top players are demanding. And Phil Foden has lived up to the billing. I was dead wrong there. Where I was right, Mark, you've got to sell Marcus Rashford. I know Man United won. But you can't have that as your highest paid player. We'll talk a little bit about that later. I'm sorry, Rashford's got to go. You can't against Liverpool let Kwanzaa run past you like that when you're a Manchester kid. And it's just not there. There was a chance in the 95th minute or whatever it was. I think he may have been offside. Okay, but that doesn't matter. But he missed it. And it's like, again, that's not it. That's not it. Not at Man United, when I watched Andy Cole, Teddy Sheringham, Cristiano Ronaldo, Carlos Tevez, Wayne Rooney. I've watched it. And Marcus Rashford doesn't even look like it. Like, again, as sports fans, we know. We know what it looks like. Like, if you're a Man United fan and you're above the age of 25, you know what it looks like. You know what Cristiano Ronaldo looked like. Wayne Rooney looked like a Man United player. Don't tell me about crisis in confidence. If you're at Manchester United, it is your job to have the most inflated ego in the world. So we're not even talking about that. And stop rewarding people just for trying. Trying is for Aston Villa and Everton, not for Man United. Because at Man United, we expect that. That's how you get in the door. That's the admission price. Okay, now what are you doing? Teddy Sheringham, what are you doing? David Beckham, what are you doing? Patrice Evra, what are you doing? These guys, the effort thing at Man United, please, you should be the hardest working players in the league, as Man City players are, right? As the great Chelsea era was, Man United, we know what time it was. So don't give me that. Marcus Rashford, gotta go. I was dead right there. Finish off here. I was wrong. Listen, Pochettino is going to end up at Wembley twice this year, once in a final and once in the FA Cup semi-final to play Man City, as we know. I think it's been a disaster of a season. But what? An FA Cup final? Or semi-final? League Cup final? Loss? Close? The league's been an absolute disaster. But he's been thrown in, really thrown out to the wolves. And it's not bad. It's actually not bad in terms of just keeping it on the tracks and moving forward, all things considered. Whole lot of young players that he didn't know or want or buy. And he's kind of kept it on the tracks. So I don't hate the season. I was wrong. I thought it was a disaster. But I've stepped back and I thought, young team, okay, the league will always be tough for young teams. There are zero leaders at Chelsea. There are zero captains, zero leaders. And we'll talk a little bit later about Man United and Chelsea and their similar problems. But I was wrong. Pochettino, not a bad season. That is where I was wrong. That is where I was right. Listen, I'm becoming wedding guy now, hey? Got another wedding coming up this week. At this one, I'm the best man. So that should be fun. Had a young lunch yesterday with the man, the groom-to-be. He's feeling good. We're going to have a great time. There are people coming from all over the world. We are going to have a great time. So we'll see how that goes. I'm wedding guy. I'm not the MC. I'm not the MC. There's a different MC. So that'll be fun. Because, listen, for anybody who MCs, MCing a wedding is not like, it's not a fun thing, hey? I mean, it's fun in a sense, but it's like a job. Like, if you can very easily mess up the wedding if you don't take it seriously. You know, because, like, there's a schedule, and the last thing the couple want is, no, even if they're easygoing, you don't want to put the couple in a position where, like, oh, won't you call so-and-so? It's time to eat. Or like you just want it to flow, you know? You really want to be in the background. You want to be the background noise. That nobody, like, oh, what's that song? You know when you're at an amazing pool party, like that rich people have, where they've got, like, a proper DJ with proper sound. And you never know the song because the DJ is so good is that the music has you in a sort of a trance because it's at the right volume, but it's happening in the background and it's actually affecting your experience and heightening your experience because that person, your audio sensory sort of system is taking you into a trance without you knowing because that guy's an artist. Kind of like that, right? That's what you want to be as an MC. Just be the background noise. Like a good referee on a football pitch. No one must know you there. That's the ideal MC. And everything just runs smoothly. So all the best to the bride's brother is the MC. Whew, tough gig. Because here's the other pressure about being an MC. I mean, obviously if you're like me and you're world class, no real pressure. I welcome it. But what do they say? Pressure is a privilege. Ideally, people want to get married once in their whole lives. Imagine being the guy or the girl who ruins that. Or because you drop one bad joke, like a bad family joke, you know what I mean? Or like just a bad joke, whatever it may be. Because as the day happens, you know, like one of the things where I think I win out over a lot of people is I don't drink. So generally, like I'm quite a boring person in general, you know? Like if I'm at work, I'm at work. I'm not really like a... Like I'm a highly opinionated person, but I'm not really like an edgy person, you know? Like I'm not trying to do too much. Like, oh, let me see how I can get a response out of people. My natural personality is that, but I think I'm quite good at stopping just before. What tends to happen with people, and I've worked with people at events, so forget weddings, where they get a little liquored up, and they forget that they're at work because talking doesn't feel like it should be a job. But you got to take it seriously. Like, I take it seriously. So, for me, luckily, I don't drink, so I don't really have those issues. Or, like, smoke anything, you know. Some people like the devil's lettuce. Like, I don't do any of that stuff. So, I'm always sort of compos mentis. That you don't want to be the guy who, oh, my word, did you hear what he said on the mic? Wow. Is that so-and-so? Who is that guy? And at a wedding, you know, at an event, I can get over it. Like weddings, ideally people want to do that once. You know, like people coming from Dubai and America and wherever else. The last thing you want is that memory of, oh, we have to get that guy off the mic. And then that's always going to be a situation, right? I'm fine. Bro, you need to get off the mic. Like, yeah, no, I'm fine. Fine. Hey, tell them I'm fine. Oh my goodness. So that's, I think that is, being a wedding MC is probably the worst version of MC you can get. You can get over everything else. It's just corporate people paying money. But like weddings, generally, if you're there, I mean, some people get paid for it, but generally if you're there, it's people you love as well, you know? It's people you're going to see within the next 3 months. So, but I'm not the MC. Thank goodness for that. I just want to go there and have a good time. I mean, being the best man, it's not actually as hard as I'm making it out to be. But we'll find out. Actually, we'll find out because one of the things about weddings as well. Here's the other thing about being African. Two weddings. Oh my goodness. I was kind of hoping that it would be avoided for this. When I got the wedding invitation, obviously, awesome. He's my best mate. I'm in the mix. I was like, oh, thank goodness, there's no second wedding. It's like another wedding. Is there a need? Anyway, clearly there is. But like a little while back, oh, there's the traditional wedding on 23rd. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, really. But we're in the ecosystem. I'm looking forward to the, I've got to be honest. It's close. It's here. I mean, it is a unique situation where he is my best mate. I'm looking forward to that wedding. Like the traditional wedding, I don't even, what are we doing? Why am I even going? Maybe I'll just fake illness. Maybe that's the way to do it. Yeah, I can't do that. People notice. Where was he? Oh. And then people talk, you know? Like, oh, geez. If he's the best man, why? Again, I'm in a pressure situation. Same as when I was the MC of the previous wedding. Maybe I wasn't even the candidate for best man. It was just like, okay, just make him best man because this is the type of guy who won't pitch up to our wedding. I mean, I would have pitched to this wedding, but I might have said no to the traditional. To be honest. Like, I've got to be honest. I've got to put it out there. We did discuss it at lunch yesterday. But I'll have to be there. I had already booked another trip, by the way, to go and see someone else. But these are the things heroes like myself do, you know. These are the things you got to do. Community, huh? What you're going to do? What you're going to do? All right, let's finish off on this. I think Man United and Chelsea have a similar issue. I think it's the same issue, actually. Both clubs are underachieving. It's been two horrendous seasons running parallel. They probably won't make Champions League again. Isn't that insane? Second season in a row, Chelsea and Man United won't be in the Champions League. And Chelsea are on year one of their new cycle. United are on year two of their cycle. But here's their biggest problem. Neither club has a single player that's world class. And for me, you've got to be talked about in the top three as the best in the world in the top three in the world for 3 years in a row. Like, I can't call Phil Foden world class. I can't. Like, can you do this for two more seasons? I've seen Bernardo Silva now for 5 seasons. Kevin De Bruyne now for however long. Right? I've seen it. Edison, Alisson, Van Dijk. I've seen it now. 3-4 seasons. These are proper creme de la creme Rolls Royce players. There is not a single player at Chelsea. There is not a single player at Man United you can call world class. That's a massive problem. Because it creates another problem. There's zero leaders. It's very difficult. The Leicester thing, that's why it was 5,000-1. It's super difficult to not be world class and lead and have world class expectations. It's very difficult. So both clubs are in that pickle because you can't win without proper players and proper leadership. You just can't. I don't care how good the coaching is. That Ranieri season is just, you know, well, you saw in the end. Listen, Vardy's proper. Conte's proper. Was Chilwell on that side? I don't know. It was Fuchs at left back. So, you know, there were some proper players in there. Young Schmeichel, keeper, was proper. So you had all the elements and a fairy tale, a 5,000-1 story come true. But generally, don't make the exception the rule. You can't win without proper players and proper leadership. You just can't. The most important thing is proper players. Like, you've got, listen, all the stuff we speak about, obviously, it's important to have high-level systems, the best facilities, the best academy, the best expectations. You want to build those principles of management, right? Yes. But in the end, you win with players. And generally, the team with the best players wins. That's why Man City won. That's why Chelsea won. That's why Man United won. They're the best players. You got to have the best players. And neither team has players that are the best, even in England. Forget about the world. And there's an even bigger problem. And if you're in business, don't do this. I made this mistake before, and I've made this mistake before. don't pay mediocre talent elite salaries, because it's very difficult to hold other people accountable once you do that. Because the locker room knows who can play. Man United are playing Bruno, Maguire and Rashford as their top earners. Chelsea are paying Raheem Sterling. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because I've always told people, money is a language in the corporate world. When people pay you the most, they expect the most of you. They won't tell you that. Right? And money is portable power. I've always said money is power you can put in your pocket. So when you pay someone the most, they have the most power at the club, whether you like it or not. Raheem Sterling is the most powerful player at Chelsea, whether you like it or not. Not the best player, but the most powerful player, because economy is the world we live in. Right? Where, what is the old adage? Where the money goes, the energy flows. In the capitalist world, right, let's cut the crap. He or she who gets the most has the most expectations and will most likely be in leadership. There's a reason the CEO gets more than the middle management guy. There's a reason for that. We expect the most of the CEO. Nobody really says that. I don't know if you ever noticed in corporate. But if you're the CEO, it's clear. If you're Roy Keane, it's clear. If you're Kevin De Bruyne, it's clear. Like, it is clear. We expect of you. Because how do you ask Raheem Sterling when he's playing like he does? Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford, when they're playing like they do, to hold the team accountable. So don't make this mistake. It happens in business. I see it all the time. Don't pay people you like. Pay the best. And the biggest mistake you can ever make in any environment, especially team environments, is to give elite rewards to mediocre talent. Because all that does is water things right down. And then mediocre people start expecting to be rewarded. And then you can't create a high performance environment. Then you're finished. That's why Man United have been what they've been for 10 years. That's why Chelsea have fallen to what they've fallen to. You cannot be paying Raheem Sterling £300,000 a week. You just cannot. It's egregious. And it rots everything away in terms of creating high performance environments. Here's the disaster. For Man United, it might take another 3 to 4 years to fix. Because you're going to have to get those guys out. And as you've seen, you might not hit immediately on the replacement. Chelsea have already done step one. Get rid of all those other mediocre guys. Now they're going to have to figure out, of these youngsters, can we add 2 or 3 top-class professionals to hold it all together and to have cultured performances when you're winning and losing to give it some character? But Man United are in serious, serious trouble. Because who's going to want to buy Bruno? Who's going to want to buy Rashford? Chelsea, to be determined how long it'll take to fix them. Man United are 3-4 years away from being close. From being close. Forget about winning. From being close to it. And they both clubs right now are suffering the same syndrome. No world-class players. No leadership. And they are paying mediocre people top-of-the-line elite salaries. That is exactly how you erode any sort of culture of excellence. Don't pay mediocre people top-tier money. I'm not saying don't pay top-tier money. Don't pay mediocre people top-tier money. Which means you should very rarely, right? If you're a business owner, and it's sport, you should very, very rarely be paying top-end money. Because there aren't that many top-end players. Even at Man City. Like, they should really only be paying De Bruyne, Diaz, Edison, Bernardo Silva. Because those guys in the world, they could walk into any team in the world. No problem. Everybody else, meh. Even within excellent environments, there are top dogs. So even at Man United, peak Man United, I don't know what the numbers were, but I can't imagine everyone was on that money. You know? That 06, 07, we're talking maybe Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez, Carrick, Vidic, Evra, maybe, and Van der Sar. Everyone else, good luck. You know? There aren't that many world-class people anywhere. Great is impossible to find. So if you're a team that's paying everyone top-tier money, right? Everyone top-tier money. You're telling me you're in trouble. Because nobody's got 6 or 7 world-class players in their team. Nobody has that. And I mean, you've got to look at it and say, proper world-class. The only time is when like Real Madrid amass one of those teams. It's very rare. That Barcelona team, everyone gets excited, but it was like Puyol wasn't world-class. He was a world-class top-tier leader, but they had what? Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets, David Villa maybe, and even he was like on the line, quality player, but I don't know if he's like world-class. You know, like Fernando Torres was Spain's first choice striker, you know? Like, I love David Villa, but even that Barcelona under Pep, it wasn't like 11 world-class players. I've always liked Jordi Alba, but, you know, I like Dani Alves, but he had his holes in his game. Which is why he didn't play for Brazil, by the way. For those who don't know, Maicon was the starting right back. So he wasn't even the best in his country. And people go, oh, but Dani Alves. Was he? No team has like 8 world-class players. It just does not exist. It does not exist. And great managers and great teams know this. You can't have all A-listers. It doesn't work. Remember when Real Madrid tried this with Galacticos? It didn't work. Did you know that whole era just won one Champions League title and one league title? Claude Makélélé said, I want to be paid like these guys. They were told, no, for passing sideways, no, you got to go. Went to Chelsea, a whole position got named after him. And we know the rest. One Champions League title and one La Liga title in those entire 6 years, by the way. That era lasted 6 years. Figo, Beckham, Zidane, Ronaldo, Roberto Carlos, Hierro, Raul. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's not how you build. Team chemistry is a thing. You know, if you haven't read this book, I highly urge you to go and find it. It's called The Principles of Scientific Management. Go and find it. I've got the book. It costs you about R100. Buy that book. If you want to be a leader, if you want to run proper business and understand how to lead, how to build teams, the principles of scientific management, how to build the structures in and around leadership, the principles of scientific management. Doesn't work. That nonsense does not work. Stop paying mediocre elite money. Love to hear your thoughts. MKT Inspires on the gram, otherwise MKT at the MKT show. Got a pretty interesting week coming up. I'm hoping by the end of this week, well, I know that somebody will be married because I will be there. And that'll be awesome. 2 weddings, unbelievable. Anywho, I hope by the end of the week I have some news for you. But for now, go and subscribe to our YouTube channel, The MKT Show, if you haven't done so already. To everybody else who listens here, please be a friend, tell a friend, like, share, subscribe, wherever you listen to your podcast. The podcast is available wherever you listen, by the way. Do share it, let people know that the MKT Show is alive and well. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show, and for now, I am the hell out of here.